two passages, please. Isaiah chapter 53 and 1 Peter chapter 2. Isaiah 53, 1 Peter chapter 2. As we take a look at some verses dealing with healing, we all know that there is a tremendous emphasis on healing in a lot of ministries, particularly such as the Assemblies of God and Apostolic. We also know from life experience that when you're hurting, you want healed. So not only is there a proclivity toward wanting the benefits of healing, but sometimes it gets very personal, very ouchy, and you want the healing that you've prayed about. We need to take a look at this, understanding that there are lots of folks in pain who won't listen. They can't afford to listen. They are in pain. That's their priority item. Learning a new concept of Bible study is not their priority item. Maybe they've been diagnosed with something particularly fearsome, and they are praying for remission, such a thing as that. And so they're not open to listen. It's needful, I think, that we realize that, understand that when people's experiences are in place, Bible doctrine falls on deaf ears. And when you come to passages that give them any hope, they will cling to it. My guess is, somewhere in your dim past, you put a tooth under your pillow when you knew there was no such thing as the tooth fairy, but there would be a quarter. I read just yesterday that now the average for a tooth is $3.70. So the price of baby teeth has definitely gone up, like everything else. Isaiah chapter 53 is renowned for having verse 5, wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Clearly, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Clearly, that's a messianic passage. Clearly, that's Christ at the cross. And the verse concludes, "And with his stripes, we are healed." So if you do not respect any dispensational concepts at all, and the Bible is a giant fishbowl full of verses and slogans that you reach into with prayer and grab any verse out of the fishbowl and claim it. You see, by his stripes we are healed. And you turn on channel 43 or 41 or one of those, and you hear the preacher, the teacher, the so-called tele-evangelist telling you that healing is in the atonement. And you read it here in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. So then you claim that healing and expect it to come to pass. When someone says to you, "Well, that's an Old Testament passage," the counter then is found in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 24, where Peter talks about who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. And there it is repeated in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 24, "By whose stripes ye are healed." So then someone says, "Well, that's New Testament, so that's for us now." And obviously you are really swimming upstream from this point, because they have validated for themselves. And don't forget, they're hurting. They want this more than they want to listen to you. So use some wisdom in dealing with people on this issue. And this is not the best argument to have when you're doing your hospital calls and your hospital visits. You need to be there to catch them on first bounce. But note, Peter repeats the passage, "By whose stripes ye are healed." One of the important things that we have always stressed is knowing who is talking to whom, and then asking if we fit in the audience. We can see with ease in Isaiah chapter 53 that the Messiah to Israel is being spoken of, and the people in the passage would not be members of the body of Christ because there was no such thing in Isaiah chapter 53. So since it is a present possession, "With his stripes we are healed," you can have a problem attempting to apply that to yourself. But when it comes to 1 Peter, folks see 1 Peter, and Peter has been much elevated in common modern culture as a product of Roman Catholicism and making Peter the first pope. When you're upset about something, you don't say, "Well, for Clyde's sake, well, for Ralph's sake." You say, "For Pete's sake." You played a song that it was a game. You sang a song that was a game when you were a little kid. And it had to do with Simon says you can do this or that. And if Simon doesn't say it, then you can't do it. Simon says, take two steps. Take one step. Oh, you're out. So you could only do it when Simon says. Simon, why Simon? Simon Peter. The next time a celebrity dies, the next day in your local newspaper, in the editorial page, there will be the editorial cartoon of whoever that celebrity was taking their guitar or their saxophone or their ballet slippers or whatever into heaven, and who's there letting them in? Peter at the gate.
Yeah.
So the elevation of Peter has people thinking that when I read Peter, boy, I'm getting some good stuff. In 1 Peter in chapter 1, you can see Peter is talking about that which was consistent with the prophetic program, of which salvation, chapter 1, verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, Peter is talking to an audience girding up their loins of their mind and being sober for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when they get grace delivered unto them. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. You have a present possession of grace, so we're sort of attempting here to wean ourselves off being Petrine, and rather to be Pauline. Note in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, for most people the wheels fall off. Because in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, Peter talks about being born again, and since most of Christianity thinks that's what it is from John chapter 3, you're swimming uphill a bit, aren't you? If, however, you remember that Exodus chapter 4, verse 22, Israel is God's firstborn, then I'm going to suggest to you that it's the rebirth of Israel to which Peter is referring in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It's, I think, needful to understand Peter in 1 Peter in chapter 2, in verse 6, is talking about, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and that he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." That, of course, is a match to the cornerstone spoken of in Deuteronomy, the cornerstone spoken of by, well, so many of the prophets, most notably, I suppose, Isaiah. What Peter's talking about is according to the prophetic program. Now, if we are intellectually able to determine that Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5 is messianic about the nation Israel, we have to focus on these passages in Peter about by your stripes you're healed, by his stripes you're healed. And 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 12 is very useful in that regard. Peter says in chapter 2 verse 12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Peter, if he's telling someone to be honest among the Gentiles, would not be talking to Gentiles. It wouldn't make any sense were he talking to Gentiles. Only a Hebrew talking to another Hebrew could say the content of verse 12. In 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 3, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness. So Peter is saying being like a Gentile is a bad thing, and he's not addressing Gentiles. He's addressing members of his own people, Israel. It's also, I think, important and needful to note that Peter makes an agreement with James, John, Paul, and Barnabas and Silas and the boys in Galatians chapter 2, in verses 7, 8, and 9, that Peter would go to the circumcision. Paul would be the apostle to the Gentiles with an entirely different message, but nobody knows that. Peter would go to the circumcision, and that's clear. When James, Cephas, and John, Cephas being Peter, who seemed to be pillars, received the grace that was given unto me, verse 9, Galatians 2, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. Point being, Peter, James, and John going to the circumcision. What are the names ascribed to the Hebrew epistles? Peter, James, and John. So it works. That's why they're called Hebrew epistles. People invent something called a Hebrew Christian, which is quite an invention. Even Schofield does it, because in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek. But the fact remains, it should be evident, it should be clear. Peter is addressing his own people, Israel, and that according to the prophetic program. When you have such doctrines established, the issues associated with healing can be better addressed. It may be difficult to establish those doctrines, but the thing that we need to do as Mid-Acts Pauline dispensational right dividers is give people the reason why something has happened, why something has changed. Most of Christianity engages in choosing up sides without knowing why they do what they do. And you'll hear people say, Carol and I in the Christian bookstore business for more than 20 years, we hear people say, well, at my church we do thus and so. And it's okay that they do that, but at my church we do thus and so. So they choose up sides. And most notably in the last 20 years, I suppose, the choosing up of sides has been over tongues, signs, and healings. Well, at my church, we don't do that. I suppose it's okay if you did, but at my church, we don't do that. And folks don't know why. They know they go to one that doesn't. And the other people, my next door neighbor, they go to one that does, and whatever. And it's just not the kind of thing where anybody understands the why or the wherefore. Fact of the matter is, Israel was a chosen people, God's firstborn son, according to Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. And Israel was instructed by the use of healing. Healing was a lesson for Israel to learn. Note the very first healing in your Bible occurs in Exodus in chapter 4. And it's a healing from a disease that God put on him, and then God took away. And notice in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 6, the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom. When he took it out, his hand was leprous as snow. So a perfectly good hand goes into his cloak and it comes out, and it's a diseased hand. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. He put his hand into his bosom again, plucked it out of his bosom, and it was as the other flesh. It got healed. So first time it's sick, second time it's healed. And it shall come to pass, if he will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice. Look what the function is of the healing. Verse 8, it's a sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. The healing spoke. It was credentials. It was evidentiary. That, oh yeah, this is God's man, because look what he did. And so, the first ever healing in your Bible, if you believe in the law of first mention at all, it'll work on this one. It has to do with signs. Now notice later on in Exodus chapter 4 in verse 30. Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. He's doing signs in the sight of the people. Vineyard denomination, Vineyard churches started by John Wimber wanting to see the signs. He didn't have such fancy language as see the signs. He wanted to see the stuff. Genius that he is. And the people believed. Oh, look what happens when they see the signs. The result is belief. Seeing is believing. Hasn't that an expression you've heard? What do we know defines faith? The evidence of things not seen. And you live in a dispensation whose hallmark is grace through faith, do you not? Then why are you looking for things? Again, Exodus chapter 7, verse 3. God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. If he hadn't hardened Pharaoh's heart first, Pharaoh would have believed because of all the signs and wonders. But Pharaoh's heart shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine enemies and my people and my children Israel out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand out of Egypt and bring out the children. So, signs and wonders. See signs and wonders as a teaching tool for the children of Israel. In Exodus chapter 15. There's a famous verse. If you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord and do what is in his sight, obeying the commands and laws, I will not make you suffer the diseases. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. I've got a wrong thing here. I apologize. Exodus
15:26. That's it.
Yes.
Not a few diseases.
I know it's the right verse. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, I will give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee. There's a fellow named Cheryl wrote a book called None of These Diseases, claiming that no Christian should ever have any of these diseases. Finus Jennings Dake in the Dake Study Bible says no Christian should ever be sick in a day, one day in his life. You've got a lot of that kind of teaching from the Pentecostals, Charismatics, and televangelists that you should have none of these diseases if you're right with God. And those people all die anyhow. But the fact of the matter is that the none of these diseases, the diseases, the causes of the diseases, and the healings from the diseases we've seen so far are signs and wonders. He's going to put none of these diseases on the people who are diligently keeping the statutes. What's the deal with that? If they are behaving properly, God says He won't put the diseases upon them. What's Israel's position, Exodus chapter 19, as it stands before God? Exodus chapter 19, you see, verse 6, ye shall be a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. If you're in the kingdom of priests and holy nation, by law, you cannot be lame. So Israel, in its program, always has associated with it disease as a sign, healing as a sign. And for Israel, the promise is, you do right and you'll be whole. So Israel has that in its agreement. Then when people say healing is in the atonement, they're not wrong. As far as Israel goes, it absolutely is. You have a different sort of healing. Your healing program is called death. And you get a new body and operate in heavenly places and body celestial. It's interesting that we've already seen healing signs and wonders are used to validate someone's credentials. And we've seen Israel has freedom to be whole if they do their end of the agreement and keep the statutes, keep the commandments. In Numbers, in chapter 14, in verse 11, Numbers, chapter 14, in verse 11, and the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? Why should they believe you, Moses? Answer. Moses' credentials were signs and wonders. It's right there in the verse. Signs and wonders were not God capriciously, willy-nilly, because somebody sent $100 to Pat Robertson and prayed the prayer of faith. That's not how the leverage operates. It was for credentials, this business of signs and wonders. Deuteronomy in chapter 4. Hard to miss when you look. I don't know that anybody much looks. Verse 34, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 34. Our God hath assayed to go and to take him a nation from the midst of the other nations by temptations, by signs and wonders. God then communicating, singling people out by signs and wonders. Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse 22. We read, the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, in Egypt upon Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes, and he brought us out from thence to bring us. Signs and wonders were a clarion call. They were credentials. They validated the rightness or wrongness of something that's going on. We should understand, as members of the body of Christ, we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. We have a present possession of salvation. And with that, we're crucified with Christ. Signs and wonders are, we don't need a validating sign or wonder. And we are not recipients of the holy nation, holy priesthood. So healing is not associated with what we endure. As a matter of fact, Romans chapter 8, verse 18 tells you that there's going to be suffering. When Israel gets its atonement that has the healing in it, that will be Acts chapter 3, verses 19 to 24, at the time of refreshing. The time of refreshing was that which was prophesied by all the prophets since the world began. How did the prophets know they had the right message? One way was healing, signs, wonders, miracles, and those sorts of things. It was a sign to them. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. You'd better listen then. How do you know you got the right prophet? Well, he stuck his hand in his cloak and it came out leprous. He stuck his hand back and it came out whole. There were signs and wonders. Now, it's important to notice in Exodus chapter 19, where we were previously in verse 6, God promises them they will be the kingdom of priests and a holy nation. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter says, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." So Peter is speaking to his people Israel in 1 Peter in chapter 2 in verse 9. And he's saying that his people are a royal priesthood. I was told in my Baptist church, well, we are a priesthood of believers, a royal priesthood. And I looked around at the other people in the congregation. I didn't see any royalty there, but I was gullible and willing to believe a lot of things that weren't necessarily so. Forgive me, Peggy Lee, for using your song. It ain't necessarily. No, that was, she sang it, but that was Porgy and Bess.
Oh, right.
It ain't necessarily so. If you're going to be in a priesthood, a royal priesthood, a kingdom of priests, healing is necessary in that Leviticus chapter 21, verses 17 and on. Speak unto Aaron, saying, whosoever he be of the seed of their generations that hath a blemish, any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. Got to be whole. So people on Israel's program have a body terrestrial that is whole. You get a body celestial that is entirely different from that, and you know that from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So if a man is blind, lame, hath a flat nose, or anything superfluous, or a man that is broken-footed or broken-handed, can't be in the nation of priests. So when I broke my wrist and they put this in me, and screwed these screws in me. Ouch. And I had this for like 12 weeks before he got like an egg beater and unscrewed these. That's the closest to death that doctor ever came, and he doesn't even know it. But this is called a fixator bar. And I had a Colles fracture where my bone slipped up and wasn't where it belonged, so they dragged it down and put it back in place, and then to anchor it, let's see, two holes are here and the other two holes are here. You don't roll over at nighttime.
No.
You wake up in the morning exactly where you went down. It was 20 years ago today this puppy got removed.
Yep.
And the doctor was having a near-death experience and didn't even know it, because I was in a place where I could have whapped him a good one. But I'd be disqualified. I've been broken in some places. Broke a shoulder, broke a leg, broke a foot. Can't keep up with Carol. She did hers all at once. The point being, there's a reason why healing is associated with the kingdom program. It's not willy-nilly. It's not put your hand on the TV set to get a warm feeling. It's not that. It's functional. And the function of taking a sin-cursed people and making them whole involves a healing program so that they can operate in their kingdom venue. You and I, we're not about that. We're going to be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. Everything you've got's going to be gone. Worm food. You get a new body. So it's practical. It's real. It's functional. Sometimes our Bibles say things to us and we have trouble accepting what they're saying. But I just would have you to note the irony. Peter's first miracle that he performs was to heal somebody that was lame. That's in Acts chapter 3, verse 11, which fits Peter's program for the kingdom. What was Paul's first miracle? And does it teach anything? Might it be every one of the miracles in the book of John, there's seven of them, every one of them teaches. You learn in the book of John that all the things that Christ did, but there wouldn't be enough books to hold it. How come there's only seven in the book? Because they teach. I'm about to suggest to you, Paul's first miracle teaches. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 9, then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes upon him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon me, and thou shalt be blind. Paul blinds a guy. Who's the guy? He's Israel.
Yes.
He's a Hebrew. So Paul's first miracle is to blind Israel. Suppose there's a teaching type there? Might be. I'm not going to force it down your throats. You might not like it, but it's fascinating. Is it not? Now, since you and I are not part of the prophetic program, we'd be wrong to think that the atoning sacrifice for Israel provides the same benefits as salvation for the body of Christ. Commonly, Christians teach that everything that's good in the Bible they get eventually. That's so narcissistic, egocentric, it's so self-centered, it's selfish. If we realize we deserve hell, maybe we'd be better at being grateful for what is ours rather than wanting everything. What is ours, we become a new creature. There's never been a creature from Adam and Eve to you that dies and goes to heaven. They went to paradise in the earth. There's never been a creature that gets a new body. Wow, you're different. So when you get your new body, it won't be the product of 87 billion years of evolution.
No.
It'll be a product of the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation. Paul, then, who calls himself our pattern in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16, and tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verses 1 and 2 to be faithful stewards of the mysteries. Paul then doesn't get healed when he three times requests it. And of course that famously is in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12 in verses 7 to 16. Paul does not get healed. there he is full of the Holy Ghost, and he blinds a guy, but he himself can't get healed. He learns something that the body of Christ seems slow to learn. Why does the body of Christ not want to learn this? Well, they're hurting. The doctor said the C word. They're scared. It hurts. So you really don't want to hear, "My grace is sufficient." You really want to hear, "Bless God, out in the name of Jesus, you demon of arthritis." That's what you want to hear. Someone comes along and says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." You don't want to be weak. You don't want to be hurt. I absolutely understand that. We'd be wrong to give people a false hope. I will say to you, this isn't the debate to have when you're doing your hospital calls.
Yes.
Certainly, there must be something else you can talk about, because they're not going to listen to you, and they'll shut you off entirely. Yeah. Read in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 12. Is that where I am?
Yeah.
Along about verse 9, after he says, "My grace is sufficient," Paul has an attitude adjustment. Paul says, "Whoa, didn't know that. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather..." He chooses to. Threw my notes on the floor. "Most gladly, then, will I rather glory in my infirmities." You go to the next 1,000 of your friends, ask to see their prayer lists, and when you see what they're praying about, they're praying that their infirmities would go away. They're not glorying in them. "Glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities." I have to tell you, I ain't there yet. Taking pleasure in infirmities. But I understand them. He takes pleasure in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. Reproaches. I got a letter yesterday from a man who put on the outside of the envelope that it is wrong to even say Godspeed to some people, and McLean, you're one of them. So you get some hate mail. Well, I've learned to take pleasure that at least I got him thinking.
Yes.
He got my book, "We Are Not Grafted In," and he thought that means I believe everybody can lose his or her salvation. Because the only game in town for him is to be grafted in. He doesn't understand that if you could be not grafted in and still have the position complete in Christ, he doesn't get that at all. So it just sailed right over his head, went in one ear and out the other. It just proves, as I've said to young men, and I didn't do it myself apparently, dumb it down, cut it half, and then dumb it down again.
Yes.
And they still won't get it when they're so prejudiced against what the Word of God says. Here's Paul taking pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for then I'm weak. What's the function of our not being healed? It's right there. Strength in Christ. Trusting Him rather than our own devices. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Sounds contrary, doesn't it? And we don't like being weak, do we? Our healing program is commonly referred to as death. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. Romans 8:22. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Romans 8 is replete with information about the sufferings of this world not being worthy to be compared. Romans 8:18. Well, that means there are sufferings in this world. Folks pick certain verses to teach healing. They'll pick 1 Peter 1:23. They'll pick Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. They'll pick William T. Sherrill's verse about none of these diseases. They'll pick certain verses. The folks hurting are going to gravitate toward those who teach that.
Yeah.
It's just likely. Their self-interest seems to require it.
Yeah.
It'll be hard for you to get through to them until such time as they can deal with the issues intellectually rather than emotionally. They can deal with them clinically rather than personally. But the fact of the matter is, it's not a matter of going where you want to go to get the goodies. It's not a matter of choosing up sides. Well, we believe in healing in our church, and they don't over there, but they're still nice, you know. It's not a matter of choosing up sides. It's the knowing of why.
Yes.
Why? Healing is a part of the Signs and Wonders program for the nation Israel to equip them to be a nation of priests where none is halt or lame. It has a function.
Yes.
You don't have such a sign, wonder, healing program, and healing is not associated with you, because in distresses we find when you're weak, you're strong. We find you are better crucified than in any other form.
Yes.
So being crucified with Christ and reckoning yourself indeed dead unto sin is advantageous to you as a member of the body of Christ, although it's not nearly as fun as you might like. It might not fit your personal agenda. You are saved by hope. Verse 24, Romans 8. But hope that is seen is not hope. What did the Pentecostals say after the healing meeting? Well, I saw it with my own eyes. He went up there in a wheelchair and he walked out on his own 2 feet. He threw away his cane. I saw him swoon in the... I saw it. That's not faith. That's not hope. That's self-delusion. That's falling for the tricks of a carnival barker. One person told me unequivocally that I was blaspheming the Holy Ghost. And I said to them, on the authority that you have as an apostle, he thought he was an apostle, you should have God strike me down as I stand here. And I stood there and waited for him to do it. He can't. One fellow trapped me in my own store. I was in the back of the building and not a lot of places I could go. And he's telling me about how wrong I am about healing. You couldn't even be a saved man and believe what you're believing. And really getting me down the road. Well, since I was in the back of the store, there's the door to my little office, and off my little office is a little necessary room. So I went into the necessary room, grabbed a bottle of Drano, walked back out, bunked down the bottle of Drano, and said, "Drink some of this for me. You're telling me you can have all the benefits of Israel. That means you can drink any deadly thing. There's a deadly thing." Well, that would be tempting God. No. The point of drinking the deadly thing is to convince the naysayer, to convince the gainsayer, to convince the unbeliever. That's me. So convince me. I wouldn't have let him, but I was pretty sure he wasn't gonna. a preacher walks into my store. He and his wife come in. She's a sweetie.
Yes.
He's a jerk.
Yes.
His wife's at the counter. She's saying, "Brother McLean, I'm getting older. I think I need a Bible with a little bit bigger print." And over comes her husband. And he gets into his routine. "Why, bless God, hallelujah, I'm going to claim a healing for those pretty little eyes." And he's doing this with his wife. Showbiz.
Yeah.
We were the only ones in the store.
Yeah.
I guess he figured I'm in on the lie with him. That all Christianity is a lie and I'm in a bookstore, so this must be acceptable. And he's doing his healing routine. His wife was a little embarrassed, and I said, "Charles, that's not funny."
Amen.
That's the last time I ever saw Charles. You know who I'm talking about. He left where to get into the ministry? Jail. Somebody needs to put him back. He's just found a place now to be crooked. Yeah, he's just found now a place to be crooked where the government protects him.
Yeah.
But he is back, right? Yeah, he's back. Never thought for 2 seconds a man was saved. Never thought for 2 seconds a man was saved. Charles Lee. Yeah. I remember when he came to town. I was the speaker at the Black Baptist Ministerial Association meeting. And two guys came to town that day. Charles Lee and Tommy Byrd showed up at the same day. And you talk about opposites. You talk about poles apart. Those two guys, well, at any rate, it's getting personal now, and this is about the doctrine and the passage. My healing program, I draw closer to with each breath. And won't be long, I'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. That's my healing program. I don't need signs and wonders. I'm complete in Christ. I can study to show myself approved unto God without miraculous intervention in that regard. So we'll stop there. Knowing not just the ability to choose up sides and pick what we want, but knowing why these things happened.